very traditional thing. Unfortunately, we don't have a Dominican family that's close to us to invite to come and, or I should say usually, but we go to preach to them on their day. And usually on our feast day of St. Francis, we invite the Dominicans to preach on St. Francis. And a lot of this actually goes back really, in spite of all the polemics that go back and forth between the Franciscans, we're really, I want to say, brother fraternities in the sense that almost, they say, in the timing of things, St. Francis and St. Dominic were contemporaries, as we all know. Dante himself, probably because of the tradition of the Franciscans usually preaching, on the feast of St. Dominic and the Dominicans preaching on the feast of St. Francis, Dante in his Paradiso, if you're familiar with this, you got the Inferno, the Purgatorio, and Paradiso. At any rate, when Dante gets up to paradise and he's ascending through the spheres, as it were, he comes across St. Bonaventure, and St. Bonaventure praises St. Dominic, and he comes across St. Thomas, and St. Thomas praises our Holy Father, St. Francis. The particular timing, of the life both between these two founders, St. Francis and St. Dominic. St. Dominic would, as we know, with the order of preachers, encourage a lot of study for the Dominicans. Not that the Franciscans are opposed to this. We do have our doctors of the churches, so we're not opposed to study and whatnot. But also, as we probably all of us know, if we love the Rosary, that the form more or less that we have it in today is generally attributed to St. Dominic. And this is, if you get the Secret of the Rosary, it's a beautiful little kind of catechesis on the Rosary, a little bit of the history of the Rosary, and also encourages us how to pray the Rosary well, to meditate on the mysteries of the Rosary. And this is in particular what Our Lady asked St. Dominic to do, is to preach on the mysteries of the Holy Rosary. And coupled, of course, with the learning to be able to expound on these mysteries of our faith, it's for all of us, if we wish to live our Catholic faith, we need to study it. And not only to study it, to pray about it, to meditate on it. And then, of course, as we do this, little by little, as we begin to understand our faith, to live it. If we don't live our faith, we never come to deepen our understanding of our faith. It's not enough just to have it upstairs. It needs to also be in here and in our very lives. This is what we are hoping for, this is what God's hoping for from us, is that we inculcate these things in our heart and in our lives. That's our witness, if you will, out in the world. It's not that I can turn around and quote the Bible to people and quote the teachings of the church to people, although sometimes this needs to happen. It's certainly not to be belittled, but that's not necessarily where we often start. If we're living devout lives, people will come up eventually and ask us questions when they were troubled about something and say God is touching their hearts, and they see that, well, we happen to be obviously devout people, at least appearing to be holy. This is what we're, in part after, and hopefully that appearance is a sincere appearance, not just something that's a facade, but something that's real. And if that is so, people will ask us questions. And it's then that we share the faith. And I think it's important to understand this is what we're doing. We're sharing the faith. I'm not trying to beat people over the head with my faith. But I do want to share my faith. I do want to draw people to love the God whom I love. And this is one of the things that's very important, especially for those of us who happen to be a little bit more on the traditional side, because sometimes one of the traditional things to do is to want to beat people over the head for some reason, which is not very nice. None of us like it when it's done to us. I think if we can just stop and think back to a time when maybe we were a little astray and someone got on us and got on our case, generally we bristled. says, well, I'm going to tell you where to go. This isn't what we want to do. And this is why preaching on the Rosary can be very helpful, to understand what Christ has done for us, what our Blessed Mother has done for us, how much they love us, how much we have cost them, to appreciate the value of the sufferings of our Lord and our Lady, and how much God loves us. And the more we read Scripture, the more we center our faith, the more we grasp these truths, and then the more we begin to be able to have that grace to share them with others. Another beautiful thing, you know, if we don't, of course, this is something you want to work with the family, especially if it's an older family, and that's praying the rosary. The family rosary is a beautiful thing to do to encourage prayer in the family, and the rosary is a beautiful place to start. And with the young children, you know, usually they say, well, we can't do it because it's so distracting. Put up with the distractions. How do you expect them to want to learn to love the rosary if you're not willing to put up with some distractions of a little two-year-old who wants to run all over and you're trying to get them to sit? This is the family. And to have a little patience as you're trying to chase around the little two-year-old. You let them do their best. I mean, maybe you have to just let them run around a little bit, while the ones who are older, it's a good practice to ignore all the distractions that are going around. Don't worry, if it's not a two-year-old, they'd be distracted about something else. May as well be a two-year-old that you're distracted about. But little by little, this teaches people. I mean, this is one of the encouragement. I know we're, you know, business time, so we're not expecting little children to be here right now. But to have that toleration, even at church, you know, with the little ones. One of the things that I have to say, I was edified when I went to Italy. You know, they didn't really restrain. Well, I won't say there was no restraint. Obviously, there was some restraint when you saw what the little one did. But at any rate, they had one little child. He'd turn around, he'd run up right up the front aisle. Not necessarily promoting this, but this is what he was doing. He'd run right up the front aisle. He'd stop right at the sanctuary, and he'd look right up at the priest at what he was doing, and he'd stand there for a minute or so, and he'd dart back to the back of the church. Everyone just ignored him. But obviously, the older they get, you know, the more maturity, the more decorum you expect, that they sit in the pew, that they're attentive. And it's one of the signs that they're not ready for Holy Communion, is they're running. If they're eating Cheerios and playing with their trucks under the, you know, and toys and dolls or whatever under the pews and around the pews, and well, they're not really ready. You know, it's good that they're there and you're trying to keep them entertained so that they're kind of quiet. But we have to have some patience. Little by little, as they grow older, we obviously wean them off these things. Now it's important to pay attention to these things. But to have some patience with our youth, because we teach them. And that's, if they become saints, then we have the beautiful stories of, like, what Saint Therese of Lisieux, who used to look up at her father. She couldn't understand the homily, so she would look at the face of her father, and that was her homily, as it were. You're not going to get those stories unless you have the patience to put up with the little ones doing what they do when they're little. Let us pray to Our Lady and to Saint Dominic. This great gift that she's given us through St. Dominic, to ponder on the life of Jesus and Mary, and to learn from Our Lady the patience that she has with us, her little children, who, I've already mentioned, if you're here Sunday, you already heard me, how sometimes as we grow up, we still act like little children. And we often do if we stop and think about it. We just have a grown-up way of acting like a two-year-old instead of, you know, we don't flap our hands or throw ourselves down on the ground. We peel out or do other stupid things, wreck the house, or, you know, we still know how to throw our two-year-old temper tantrums. To trust in this patience that we learn from our Heavenly Father and our Heavenly Mother, and to learn to have that same patience with one another as we're all striving to learn how to love our Heavenly Father, our Lord, our Lady, and the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.